welcome once again to another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA. Today, we're privileged to have with us another guest host, Mark Godley. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how are you, Paul?
So, who have you brought along for your guest today here?
So, we're privileged to have with us the legendary Mike D'Onofrio. Mike, are you there?
I am here, Mark. Yeah, thanks for the legendary quote. We'll try to live up to that in some way. Appreciate being here.
I could say infamous or famous, but we'll just go with legendary. I appreciate you giving us some time this morning, Mike.
Yeah, the pleasure's all mine. Thanks for the invite.
You know, I had a birthday earlier this year that brought me almost to a half century. That has had me thinking about kind of my evolution as a person, and inevitably that morphed into my career evolution. You're a guy that's been with me almost the entire way. And I thought it would be fun for, two old guys to get together and talk about kind of how sales has evolved, given the, I don't want to do the math on how many decades, we've both been in sales if we were to add it up. But it's more than we'd both like to remember.
Yeah, I'm a few years ahead of you, so I've got even a couple of more stories to tell, likely.
All right, well, let's get to some of the stories. But before we do, why don't you just give people a little bit of background as to what you're doing today, working for Lean Data, as well as kind of, some of the major milestones along your career that got you there.
Yeah, so I'm currently the Chief Revenue Officer for Lean Data. And let me just, I'll give you kind of the quick who we are, what we do. We basically ensure that leads that companies generate, very much in line with the SLMA group, get to their intended source all the time, every time. You know, that's kind of the simple tagline on it, but we solve a very foundational problem that most CRMs have today on tying leads to contacts to accounts that basically inhibit that whole process. So we're this this technology that is a connective tissue to ensure that any buying signal that your marketing teams or sales teams gets to its intended source. That's what we do.
Mike, so you fixed Benioff's database problem, it sounds like.
You know, I wasn't going to specifically call out a particular CRM, but thanks. Thank you for doing so.
I look forward to the Lean Data Tower, even though there is a Leaning Tower next to the new Salesforce one, but that's a different topic.
Always can count on some great color coming from you, Mark.
So how'd you get there, Mike? Where have you been before Lean Data?
The career path has been a long one, so I'll get a couple of highlights. But, you and I spent a fair amount of time at, the established entity of ADP, where we got our footings and our foundations in selling, which, probably we both can attest we carry forward with us today.
Yes.
Since that time, I've gone with more, say, technology-based companies who are going to market in more innovative ways than at least at the time ADP was doing. More recently, I built out the SMB business for Concur from 20 sales folks to over 250, from less than 10 million in ARR to over 250 million recurring. So that was, it was a blast. The interesting thing, and that's kind of what got me to Lean Data, is I may not have understood the technological gaps around lead management and buying signals and all that, but I certainly was very attuned with, as many sales leaders are, qualified opportunities, misrouting of critical leads and information, and the pressure that we all have as leaders to develop coverage models that allow us to find ways to expand and grow, but unfortunately being faced with the back office limitations around doing that both nimbly and effectively for both your sales as well as your buyer's journey. When Lean Data was brought to my attention, I got the problem and was super excited to be able to tell our story to others.
Excellent. Well, your mentioning of the buyer's journey, I think, prompts, getting into the heart of what I think we want to talk about today, which is, going back to those early days, many decades ago, when when lead routing was the mail showing up, literally. You know, the buyer's journey has changed quite a bit. Reflect a little bit, Mike, as to what you've seen change, you know, from the perspective of a customer.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is dramatically different. And, you know, not that either you or I have to tell our stories about walking 8 miles in the snow to anybody who's listening. But, you know, there was a time when you actually used to be able to knock on a door literally and figuratively, you know, sit down at your phone and make 50 dials and count on getting to 10 people. And, you know, as we both know, those days are long behind us. You know, a lot of that is, you know, at its foundation, the consumerization of how professional B2B buyers buy. You know, we all have our personal experiences of having great experiences on sites like Amazon, and we expect the same when we buy professionally. And so I would say the buyer's journey starts with the recognition that as a company and an organization looking to sell to a B2B buyer, you have to actually foster an environment where you enable buyers to self-assess and allow them to be able to do their fact-finding and their test driving, if you will, without engaging with a salesperson. That's kind of a critical part. I think the most successful environments, you mentioned Salesforce, obviously, is one. You mentioned them in a different light, but certainly we can hold them in really high regard, is, you know, an organization that fosters that environment, whether it be on free trials or land and expand. And that, I think, is at the crux of the change in this buyer's journey.
Yeah, I concur totally. When you and I were beating the streets, we were the main conduits of information for potential buyers. But now with the internet and other ways of getting access to information, the role of a sales rep has really changed. I think we're going to go to a break here in a minute, but when we get back, maybe you can talk about how you've seen that sales rep role change from the bottleneck of information to what are they today.
Yeah, sure thing.
Okay, I'll chime in and just remind everybody that if your organization's success is driven by B2B sales, then the book Predictable Prospecting by best-selling author Mary Lou Tyler might be for you. In it, she shows you how to rapidly add qualified opportunities to your sales pipeline, ensuring consistent and predictable revenue growth. You can get started right away, turning your business into a sales machine. Simply download your free sample chapter at Mary Lou Tyler, just like it sounds, MaryLouTyler.com, Predictable Prospecting. And one more quick shout out to Zuant, the new generation of mobile lead capture systems. One you can use at every trade show and event, or even every day when you're on the road to present and send videos and literature to your customers. Looks great and eliminates the need for manually entering your leads later. Pretty smart way to do it. Simply check it out, Zuant.com. All right, back to our guest host here, who are sharing old war stories and talking about the new realities, I think, of what it's like for the buyer's journey here.
So, Mike, what is the role of a sales rep in a sales process today?
Yeah, excellent. Well, let me kind of put two sides to that, Mark. And I think, you know, if you have some sales leaders on the phone, certainly some marketers on the phone, you know, this will provide some good context. But, you know, certainly when you have folks in what we typically call the SDR category out there trying to entice companies to be able to listen and learn more, you know, we've got to be able to arm those teams with, you know, a multitude of call to actions. If the only basically call to action is, hey, take an appointment, you know, then you truly have to have that buyer be right at the point of wanting to truly get into a full buying cycle. And, you know, listen, that's not always the case. And if you're in, especially if you're in technologies like where we are, where we're still helping customers to define the problem. So, you know, that part of the buyer's journey might be, you know, it might be video assets. It might be a premium or free trial. It might be attendance at, you know, webinars and sessions like these that can support this high percentage of this buying cycle before they choose to actually have that one-on-one conversation. Before we broke, you alluded to the differences between the kind of the then and the now. You know, it used to be you had to go to the salesperson for that information, and you know, now it's just the opposite. You have to foster your prospects to be able to get it on their own. Now, once you do get them to your doorstep, you know, let's call that the initial engagement with a salesperson. You know, candidly, you know, what we experience here is to be able to make sure that our sales folks are talking about having highly relevant conversations that are personalized with specific use cases that likely apply to the prospect and or the persona that they're dealing with. If there's any perception of it being, you know, kind of a quote unquote talking brochure, then, you know, it's likely not going to progress. And so there's more emphasis that we need to put on our sellers in whatever capacity they're in to deliver highly relevant information and even at times challenge our potential buyers in looking at this a completely different way than what they may have believed they landed on when they were doing their evaluation prior to an active engagement. Does that make some sense?
It does. With the sales teams that I work with today, I talk about, you know, the importance of the sales rep becoming a domain expert, and you know, providing, as you talk about, relevant information. And the term I continue to use is, we're not selling as much as we're helping people buy. And if you can become a domain expert and transition the customer buyer relationship to one of being a trusted advisor, I think you can really, really do quite well. But it's a totally different model than what you and I grew up with. I'm not sure if it's better or worse or just different. A topic related to this, Mike, you talk about the sales rep, you know, needing to provide relevant information and effective outreach. Talk a little bit about how you've seen systems change. I mean, I literally can remember when the first quote unquote laptop was brought into our old stomping grounds of Big Red. You had to sign that out with a 5 1/4 inch floppy to show people how to run software. And you and I literally had Rolodexes back in the day. So how has technology changed the sales game?
Some of this seems so obvious now. So we, you know, I feel like we're kind of, you know, singing to the choir a little bit for those on the phone. But, you know, as you talk about this relevance that you want your salespeople to have, they have to become expert in, you know, in all things information gathering, and so that they can, this relevance becomes personalized, again, to the company, to the industry, and then more as critical to the contact that they're talking to. So their ability to effectively search through LinkedIn, understanding articles of relevance, understanding, you know, where the company is and they're going through their research is critical. Now, you know, you can certainly spend some time and find nearly all of what I just mentioned on your own. You know, there's also a really good array of applications that can, you know, get you off to a quick start. Tools that fill your database with what we used to call profiling fields, profiling effort back in our old days at Big Red, as you call them. And so you enter into an engagement with this great amount of context on all the things that I mentioned. So that's the technological advantages that are more available, but that you have to, you know, as a field sales leader, ensure that your team is taking the necessary time and effort to get, so that when they, you know, when that inevitable live conversation happens, or even when they're in an email outreach, it's highly personalized.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I don't know if you're seeing it as well, but I'm also seeing a little bit of backlash against that technology stack that you've referred to. Like, you can certainly arm your reps with a lot of tools, but I'm seeing some people feeling as though it's becoming a bit blinding or overwhelming. Are you seeing that at all?
Yeah. We have a, as a relatively small org, we have a fair amount of applications in our tech stack. That's kind of what we call it. I'm sure a lot of folks call it the same thing. And we have, you know, we have some automation tools around Cadence that we use today. I think the Cadence tools work well when it combines with the personalization that we've talked about. I think the Cadence tools actually backfire when they appear to be generic.
Totally agree.
Yeah, you know, we listen, like you and I are on the, you know, we're on this end of it, but we're also on the receiving end. I'm sure we both receive our share of outreach each day from somebody trying to sell us something. There's items that get your attention, and that's a small percentage. There's a lot of things you get that you just you barely look at it and move on. And so the technology can be an enabler. It could also be quite be an inhibitor. You know, we've got to there's got to be recognition of every company going to market today that there's so much noise.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So, Mike, we only got about 30 seconds left, so I'm going to ask you to prognosticate a little bit and look out into the future, you know, based on the, you know, evolution we've seen, which has been seismic over our years. If you were to look out 5 or 10 years, where do you see sales going? Where do you see the role of the sales rep? You got any insights out there you want to share with the group for those who are the younger folks on the phone that are looking to...
Five or 10 years out, Mark. Here's what we're focused on, and what I think we'll see more of is, at least from what I can see today, is an enhancement on many of the things that we talked about. How do we have more automation around a better identification of our ICP, of our ideal customer profile? How do we have more automation around contact changes at companies that are critical decision influences for us? How do we, expedite this personalization component to whatever framework it is to be able to get in front of those folks with messaging that matters? So that's kind of what we're focused on here, is taking what, you know, started back to our conversation today, is we used to knock on a door and try to get to find out who it was and what we needed to talk to them about. Right now, it's a matter of enhancing and leveraging technology to be able to get to that sooner in a much more pointed and focused way. That's kind of where we're going. You know, whether AI enters into that at some point, I'm sure that it will. We haven't exactly landed on how that might play, but I'm sure at some point that'll help us. You know, it'll be kind of like, hey, Siri, who should I call at Lead Genius?
Excellent. Excellent. So we could talk for hours, and we got to get a beer date on the schedule. For those who want to connect with you outside this forum, can you suggest how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, easiest way is email Mike D, as in David, at leandatainc.com, or feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn.
All right, Mike, thanks so much for your time today.
Mark, the pleasure was mine. Always great to talk to you.
All right, buddy. We'll see you soon.
Take care. Bye.
You've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association, one of the many shows on the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.